Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And in verse 12, Galatians chapter 4, in verse 12, he says, "Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." Now, Father, we thank you for the word of God, and I just pray that you'd help me to be a blessing, and Lord, help us to consider this thing about serving you in the infirmity of our flesh. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And, you know, when we look at the Apostle Paul throughout his life, we see that he had a lot of things that happened to him. He was stoned three times. He was beaten with rods three times. He was shipwrecked and spent a whole day and a night in the deep in the water. And before he was rescued, he was at perils, and they tried to kill him. He had to be let down in a basket one time over the wall because they were trying to kill him. And then, of course, he was put into prison, and he was suffered in prison. And you remember in Philippi, they were beaten and cast into stocks in the inner prison, and him and Silas. And there's so many things that you look at in his life that he had. And then, in addition to all of the abuse he suffered, he had other issues as well. He had here, he talked about having an infirmity of the flesh. He talked at other places about being rude of speech, and he talked about in his bodily presence is weak and contemptible. He was not what you would consider a vibrant and healthy man, and yet he was able to do so much for the kingdom of God and for the work of God and for the cause of Christ. And yet, the thing is, sometimes we try to make this man a superman in some ways, and he wasn't by any stretch of the imagination. There's been all types of speculation on what type of maladies he had. Here he talks about how he, through the infirmity of the flesh, he preached the gospel unto you at the first. I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. And he says, "Where then is the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." So that means that he obviously had a problem with his eyes right there. And so whatever the case may be, he had some disease, some infirmity in his eyes. And I mean, there's a lot of things in the scriptures support that. But for whatever reason it was that he had, whatever it was, the malady he had, it was an infirmity, and this word infirmity is used in all types of things for sickness and those type of things throughout the Bible. And so when he talks about an infirmity, but he said, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And he said, when I came to you, I didn't feel well. When I came to you, I was not at my best. I was not 100%, but I still preached the gospel to you. And you know, we live in a day and age now where our world has gone crazy about infirmity. They're scared to death of this sickness and that sickness. And I understand all the power machinations behind it, but you know, somebody unleashed a virus on this earth that has got a lot of people concerned and worried. And you know, I have my own opinions about that matter. I still believe that this was probably a vector test by the Chinese for biological warfare. I just believe that's what it was. And because they seem to put out a lot of viruses over there, don't they? And then, of course, they turn around and try to blame it on things like the wet markets and everything, which they've had for thousands of years. And you would think if those wet markets had eaten bats and scorpions and pangolins and everything else that those people eat over there, if that would have been reason why they got these viruses and why these viruses came out and everything like that, if that had been the reason for it, you'd think we'd been having these viruses for hundreds of years, wouldn't you? I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I mean, there's a lot of things, but you cannot deny that this entire world is worried about infirmity. I read a letter, I got an email, looked at this morning, from the Klaus family. Well, I don't know if you got that email or not. If not, I'll get it to you, but so you can have that letter. But they're giving an update on their work in Germany. And under Germany, they're under really strict things. They're actually talking about shutting down churches again and not allowing churches to meet. And they still won't allow them to sing in the congregational singing and things like that. I mean, and they don't have the civil liberties that we do here. And you saw how much they tried to undercut our civil liberties here because of this virus and everything like that. And there are people that get the virus and it really causes them problems, and there are people that have died from it. And so we live in a culture that right now is just obsessed with our infirmity, with sickness and disease. And I want you to see something. This is no reason for us to stop trying to serve the Lord. You know, there's a lot of things that we've been prevented from doing. And of course, we've been trying to do things we can, but we can't try to shy away from it. We still have to find ways to reach out people with the gospel and try to serve the Lord. And you know, that's the reality. We always, in one way or another, we will serve God through the infirmity of our flesh. There's just no way around it. If you turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, I want you to see something. And I know I've kind of preached on this probably a few months ago, but I felt with all the things that are going on, I needed to bring it back. You know, when in Romans chapter 6, he's talking to them, and in verse 19 he says, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Amen. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness." All right. He said, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life." You know, I remember back in my days of wickedness, when I was doing drugs and when I was drinking liquor and everything else like that, when I was lost and on my way to hell, I remember I'd get sick and I'd still go out there and open up a beer and try to drink it. I'd still go out and do some drugs or smoke something or something like that. I'd still do that even though I was sick. And if I felt like I could get away with it, I'd try to do all the same things I did. You know, when we get sick, it doesn't always mean that we're going to quit what we're not supposed to be doing. Rather, I should say, that's the way the flesh is. That's the way the flesh is. The flesh demands, even though. Now, God doesn't demand. He calls. But you know, a lot of times we use our infirmities to either not do what we're supposed to do or do what we're not supposed to do. I can use it. Sometimes when we feel bad, we get ugly with people. It's not their fault, is it? Now, I know a lot of times people are gracious and they say, "Well, they don't feel good. I understand. They forgive and go on." And that's a good thing too. But just because you feel bad doesn't mean you have a right to be ugly to somebody, is it? Just because you feel bad doesn't mean you have a right to be unchristian and uncharitable, does it? No, it doesn't. You know, this terminology about infirmity, it's used several places. We are encompassed about with infirmity. All right? And so, you know, ladies, you have your own infirmities that you have of your own just by your nature and everything that being a woman. Men have their own infirmities. There are things like that. They are not an excuse for being unchristian. They're not an excuse for being unkind. They're not an excuse for being unforgiving. And by the way, other people's infirmity and their failure to be Christian is not an excuse for us to respond in kind, is it? But we need to learn to serve God. If you look at the at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul said to the Corinthians, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, "For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." And so when we look at that passage of Scripture, when we look at that, we see that the Apostle Paul had a lot of infirmity, and some people judged him because of it. But he didn't run around in the pink of health doing what he did. There were many times he was hurting. He was in pain. There's many times he felt weak. There's many times he didn't look his best. But he made up his mind to just go ahead and serve the Lord anyway. And that's what we need to do. We need to serve God in the infirmity of our flesh. And it's an amazing thing that when we look at this, if we look at the book Second Corinthians, there's several places where he talks in there. Second Corinthians chapter 10, you can turn over there if you want to. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and it's kind of an amazing thing when we get over there and we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 11 and 12, we see a lot of things that he says. He says in chapter 10 verse 1, he says, "Now I, Paul myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." Alright? In other words, your Christian service is not based upon the condition of your flesh. He says in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So there we have a picture there, and something we have to understand. Just because you don't feel good physically does not mean that you cannot be effective spiritually. And we've got to grab a hold of that sometimes. Sometimes we don't feel like praying, but we can pray and make a difference. We don't feel good, but we can do good. We don't have the strength physically, but we do spiritually. Something for us to think about, isn't it? When we talk about infirmity, especially in this day and age, in chapter 11, in verse, let's see, he talks about all of his issues and things that happened to him. He said, in verse 24, he said, of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. So that's five times. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. So I got my facts a little off there. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the seas, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? And in verse 30, he says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. In other words, he said, you know what? I've got all these things here. But God knew that they were coming, and God sent me to where they were, and God called me knowing what I am. And so, his plan and purpose must be greater than my infirmities. And so he's going to use me despite my infirmities. And so he says, I'm not going to glory except in my infirmities. I'm not going to glory in my strength. I'm going to glory in God that uses me despite all my infirmities and despite my weakness and despite all the things that I have. So it's something that we look at. And then if we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he says this let's see if I can find the passage. Verse 7, and let's go to verse 6. He said, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. He said, I don't want you to think of me more than what you see and what you hear. This is what, you know, he's what you see is what you get. If there's anything greater than that, it's not me, it's God. And he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, not only that, all the things that I have to do now to keep me humble, there's a messenger of Satan, the devil, has been attacking me. And he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me, whatever this was. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know, a lot of the things about the infirmities that we have, if we would see them the right way, if we would see our weakness the way it is, it gets us out of the way. That means if anybody's going to do anything, it's going to be God, because we can't do it. And we have all kinds of infirmities. We've got old age infirmities. We've got sicknesses and diseases. We have flu season every year and everything, although we hadn't had much of a flu season since COVID came, have we? You don't hear about anything about flu, do you? And all these things that happen. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. But the simple fact is we have all these things that go on. And it may get worse, beloved. I can't tell you it's not. If we keep letting people come across the border willy-nilly the way we are, there's no telling what they're going to bring with them. You know, did you know that there are diseases that are in the Middle East and Africa that we don't have here? That if we keep our borders open, they may end up here. We're just silly. We're foolish. We could talk about that. But none of that changes our mission. None of it changes what we're supposed to do. None of it changes God's ability to work through us. All we need to be is willing. All we need to be is willing. You know, to close this out, let me go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's a lot. Isn't it amazing how much is on 2 Corinthians about man's infirmities and failures and God's glory? And he's talking to them. And he says this in verse 5. He says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." So, this great treasure that we have, the power of God, the power to do what's right, to choose what's right, and to step forward, and even in our weakness, do the right thing, not allow our infirmities to stop us from being a blessing. You know, we can talk about all kinds of things. You say, "Well, preacher, if I get COVID, you know, I certainly can't go out soul winning. I can't go knock on a door." But you can call somebody, can't you? I mean, it don't transfer through the phone lines, does it? You can email somebody, can't you? I mean, there's ways, folks. But so often we just quit because we don't feel like it. But if we would set our hearts right and realize that God is not limited by the infirmity of our flesh, and step out by faith and simply allow God to work through us the way we're supposed to whatever level we can, what an amazing thing would happen. Boy, I wish I could see the miracles that the Apostle Paul saw. Are you willing to serve God in the infirmity of your flesh the way the Apostle Paul did? Can't really complain about not seeing the miraculous when you and I don't put ourselves in a position to have it happen. You say, "Preacher, you just don't know how bad it is for me. It'd take a miracle." That's what I'm talking about. That's all we're talking about here, is God doing a miracle through people who are hurting, people who are weak, people who are base. people who are not looked upon very well. By the way, did you know that the Bible says of Jesus that there was no form or comeliness in him that we should desire him? He didn't look like much. You know, they got all these light skin, long flowing hair and all this stuff and everything like he is, but Jesus and everything like it, he didn't look anything like that. I'm sorry. All the Renaissance artists and Catholic artists and down the history can't tell me that he looked like that. They cannot read the Bible and actually say that's what he looked like. But the simple fact is, the truth of the matter is, that we're told that he had no form nor comeliness in him that we should desire him. That he was despised and rejected of men, wasn't he? And what an amazing thing that he did. And he calls us to be the very same way. Just be willing to serve him, even though we don't feel like it. Even though we're in pain, even though we're persecuted. You know, if you go in the book of Acts, you remember when Paul and Barnabas went to Lystra and they healed a man and they wanted to sacrifice to him. Thought the gods had come down in the form of men. And they wanted to do sacrifice, and Paul, and you know, they called Barnabas Jupiter, because Barnabas was a big old strapping fella. They called Paul Mercurius, or Mercury, because he was the chief speaker, so he was just a messenger. But old Barnabas, they thought Barnabas, hey, that fella looks good, that must be Jupiter. They looked at Paul and said, well, he ain't nothing but a messenger boy. But who did God use to write the majority of the New Testament? The Apostle Paul. Something to think about. I can't. I know. But God can. Where we get in trouble is saying God can't use me. Yes, he can. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll take a break. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Help us, Lord, as we study the Scriptures, to just believe your Word. Lord, help us to serve you despite any infirmity of our flesh. Lord, we just know that nothing is impossible with God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.